Oliver Watson owns investment banks, baseball teams, banana plantations, television networks, newspaper syndicates, a tobacco company, and land in all 50 states. His plan, total world domination. Well, that and getting elected class president. Oh, didn't I mention that Oliver Watson is only 12 years old and a fictional character? Well, Oliver is the narrator of a new book, I Am a Genius of Unspeakable Evil, and I Want to Be Your Class President. This is Josh Leib's first novel. He makes his living as executive producer of The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, and he joins us now from our New York Bureau. Welcome to the program, Josh.
Thank you so much.
You're going to channel this evil genius as we do the interview?
I'm going to attempt not to do that, but sometimes he does take over.
Well, you have to tell us more about him. I mean, some things that I can reveal. He's constructed a secret lair under his parents' house. His best friend is a pit bull mix named Lollipop. Who is this kid?
He's every kid, really. He's what every kid wants to be. Every kid is powerless. Every kid feels weak and put upon. But he's the one who really has what they want, which is this superpower of the ultimate brain and the ultimate financial might to back it up. I do have a dog named Lollipop, and I think that's where the comparison ends.
No, okay, fair enough. Yeah. Figment of your imagination, this Oliver, huh?
Absolutely. You know, he admits that he's evil because he doesn't ever want to make things right with the world. He wants to make the world bend to his will.
Do you have your book with you?
I have a copy of it right here.
Excellent.
Is this going to be some sort of gotcha moment?
No, it's not, I promise.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just set you up by reminding everybody that Oliver is only 12, and as a minor, he needs a proxy to go out into the world to sign his contracts and run his companies. And in this section, Oliver is talking about how he picked his cover, Lionel Sheldrake.
A little research on the internet had taught me that Lionel Sheldrake, recovering alcoholic with an apartment on Skid Row, used to be Lionel Sheldrake, hotshot insurance executive with a house in Happy Hollow. Then he'd started drinking and lost it all. He was a native of a good Connecticut suburb and a graduate of Cornell University. His ancestors came over on the Mayflower. All that junk that looks good in the newspaper. I'd chosen well. I got him a haircut. I bought him a suit. I made him sign a few contracts. And before long, people were saying that Lionel Sheldrake was an important man. Actually, he's a whiny man, and I'm getting tired of his excuses. Beefheart, I bark, as Sheldrake prattles on. Somewhere in the depths of the control center, one of my minions hears me and obeys my command. The sweet, discordant notes of my favorite song by Captain Beefheart and his magic band immediately fill the room at an ear-shattering volume, drowning out Sheldrake completely. My face relaxes into a smile. Nobody understands me like the captain. Then I frown, because an automated warning voice has risen over the music. In flat, robotic tones, it repeats over and over again. Daddy's home. Daddy's home. Daddy's home.
You may have some splaining to do to folks who don't know who Captain Beefheart is.
This is an NPR audience. I'm assuming everyone knows who Captain is.
Right, but for the new generation of NPR audiences, I'm the old NPR. What about the new NPR?
Captain Beefheart, perhaps the greatest rock and roll musician of all time, and a certifiable, I think, evil genius in his own right. Certainly a genius. He and his magic band produced some of the most amazing music of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. It's the kind of thing where it's in the book. I suspect 0% of the children reading it will have any idea who Captain Beefheart is, but it's a funny name, and so I think they'll enjoy that. And then maybe they'll get it on the internet. They'll look him up, they'll listen to some music, and they'll be horribly disappointed.
But not with the album covers.
No. The album covers are terrifying. They're fantastic. And in fact, I wrote the book largely listening to Trout Mask Replica and Safe as Milk over and over again at ear-splitting volumes.
Was the book just a way for you to, you know, exercise your Captain Beefheart Jones?
That could be it. It was an excuse. I could write it off. I could tell my wife, it's important for me to do this over and over again. Yeah, I was calculatedly making myself insane. So I could write the book.
Why is Oliver's father his archenemy?
Oliver's father represents everything that Oliver is. And Oliver's a fat kid, self-indulgent. Oliver's father is thin, judgmental, and a goody-goody. He's the head of the local public TV station. Oliver's parents don't realize, I don't want to get in trouble here, but Oliver's parents don't realize that he's this evil genius. They don't know anything about him. And his mother's just this lovable dim bulb. But the difference is his mother loves Oliver for who he is. Well, she doesn't know he's a Cretan, but she suspects it, but she doesn't care. She loves him anyway.
There's a test of sorts that there always is in a book like this. Oliver decides to run for class president. You have a chapter,
right,
how to run for class president. And Oliver basically says the only thing you have to do is make posters to put up at school. That's it. But he also resorts to spreading rumors about his opponent, you know, like Randy Sparks sleeps naked. Is it just the challenge from his father, the reason why Oliver sets his sights on winning this election?
Well, what's interesting is that Oliver actually, you know, does a lot of very important stuff. He owns a lot of very important businesses. He runs networks. He runs countries. But his central challenge in this book is to do something that is absolutely meaningless, which is running for class president in a school election. As he points out, there really is nothing more impotent than a student council president. They don't do anything. There's no money involved. There's no decisions to be made. Oliver realizes that this is meaningless. It has meaning to him because his father has such fond memories of being a student council president when he was a boy. And to his father, being elected student council president is what makes someone a person with gravitas. It's someone who's going to go on in the world and do something with himself. Oliver knows that that's BS, but he wants to become class president so his father will know that his fat, stupid, selfish son has equaled him.
In the book, there are campaign posters. A vote for Oliver Watson is a vote for America. When you began to write the book, did you know that you wanted to include so many of these visual elements?
I did. I kind of wanted to feel like a dossier, there's transcripts of conversations and photographs taken from hidden cameras. I wanted it to feel like this could have really happened. This is an actual file from an actual fat kid's actual secret lair.
Adding the pages of pictures and stuff wasn't just a way to bump up the page count.
It was absolutely not. I want people to think this kid could really exist. He's out there, and he's plotting.
Well, you know, when he's embarrassed about something, Oliver has the power to call in his fighter jets.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, is this all going on in his head? It's tempting to think it is. I mean, it feels like he's a regular, overweight, kind of sad 12-year-old who's basically trying to get along in the world any way he can.
You know, if you want to teach a college class implying that this is all in his head, you go right ahead. But you can get it from the author right here that it's not in his head. He's real.
Well, it's real in your head.
I guess so. I don't know. Yeah, maybe he's real and I'm not. I don't know.
Well, you're the evil genius that created him.
I hope I'm not evil. I hope. And thank you for calling me a genius. That's sweet.
No problem. Well, look at what you've done. I mean,
I wrote a book like thousands of other people.
Yeah,
every day.
But you've also worked for News Radio, The Simpsons, and The Daily Show. Give me
That's
a break.
Right. Oh, you're sweet.
Have you checked your soul lately?
My soul's fine. I've been lucky. I've worked with very nice people throughout. You can definitely come in contact with some corrosive elements with the people I work with, but everyone I know is good.
You going to write another one?
I am. I'm absolutely. I'm working on a sequel right now. I am a genius of unspeakable evil, and I want to take you to the 8th grade formal. because genius plus puberty is trouble.
Josh Leib, executive producer of The Daily Show with Jon Stewart on Comedy Central. His first novel is called I Am a Genius of Unspeakable Evil, and I Want to Be Your Class President. Josh, thanks a lot.
No, thank you so much.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.